You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Today I want to talk to you about the power of God's presence. The power of God's presence and how important that is. You know, Moses said, I'm not prepared to enter into the promised land unless your presence goes before me. We know we need God, but we don't always realize how much we need Him. There are many things that we do in our own strength and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Exodus 33:15 says, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Can I just say this? You cannot possess your promise without the help of the Holy Spirit. The promise that God has given you, the word that you are holding on to, the mere fact that you've got that word, you still need the help of the Holy Spirit to fulfill it, to obtain it. We know that we need God, but we don't always realize how much we need God. There are many things that we do without the help and reliance upon the Holy Spirit. You need God to worship. You need God to pray. But you also need God to sit on that chair. You need God in the mornings to wake up. You need God to comb your hair. Some of you ladies, you know you need God to put on your makeup in the mornings. Amen. Okay, let me not get myself into trouble here. You know, we are quick to say that I'm a Christian. We're quick to say I'm a Christian. But it's impossible that we in South Africa can say that 80% are Christians in this land, this country is in the state that it's in. The Bible teaches us that nobody that is filled with the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. Nobody can curse God when he's got the Holy Spirit on the inside. But in the same way, nobody can say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. We have too many people that are convinced today, but they're not converted. Because the first work of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate your spirit so that you can become linked up with God. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, you are led by the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans teaches us. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Holy Spirit. But how many of us are led by our circumstances, what we see, what we hear, what we feel? Am I talking to the right people here today? And fear grips your heart. We have to ask the question, am I being led by the Holy Spirit or am I led by my senses? Daniel was a man that was led by the Spirit of God. When the bad decree came or the notice came that he was going to be fed to the lions, the Bible says as his custom, he went on his knees and he gave thanks to God three times that day. He didn't go in a panic attack and call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, listen, buddies, come. It's time for spiritual warfare. We have to rebuke the king. He said, no, I know my way before God. God is with me. And in everything, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Can I talk to parents just for 1 minute? Teach your children from a young age to be led by the Holy Spirit. Teach them from a young age to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Can I have one? Amen. Not with laws, but with grace. Teach them to be sensitive for the Holy Spirit. Make sure they come to church, that they can worship God in spirit and in truth, that they can know what God's presence feels like, that they can be aware of God's presence, that they can listen to their conscience. There are so many evil things out there, and you're not with your children the whole time. You cannot tell them the whole time, that's wrong, that's bad, stay away. But when you teach them to know God's presence, they will know His voice and know when to walk away. Okay, let me just make it a bit more practical. I would go watch movies with Jaden because he loved action movies from a year. He's just a boy. He just loved. So I said, okay, let's go watch it. Obviously, I didn't go watch the 2 to 16 and the 2 to 18 with explicit things. Just stupid when you do that. Don't do that. Turn to the person next to you, say, go tell somebody not to do it. Don't think your children are immune. There's a spirit behind everything. So I would go watch a movie with him. And if there was something in the movie that's wrong, I would say to him, how did that make you feel when you saw that? Bad, Daddy. I said, okay, that's the Holy Spirit telling us it's wrong. We're not going to buy this movie. If it was very bad, we would walk out. If it was bearable, because we're still in this world, turn to the person next to you and say, we're not in heaven yet. So I would teach them, listen. So that they can listen to God's voice. Teach them that. When you worship together with them and they get that goosebumps, then you say to them, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit goosebumps. It's nice. That's God's presence, that peace. So that they don't just experience that at church. They should experience it at church. The Holy Spirit should feel welcome here. When you walk in here, the peace of God should be here. But teach them how to worship, because John 4 teaches us that the time has come now, the hour is here, that the Father is busy looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So teach them from a young age. Sundays belong to God because we worship God in spirit and in truth. Can I just say it bluntly? If you want to teach them every second weekend we party and we go to church when we feel like it, and they end up not serving God, don't say, God, why me? It's you, not God. Aina or amen. Sometimes we have to take responsibility because we teach them habits that it becomes part of their lifestyle. The music you listen to, there's a spirit behind it. I don't want to, you know what's going on in the media right now with what people are doing. There's a spirit behind it that makes people do those things. And if you listen to that kind of music, you're going to want to do those things. Am I talking to the right people here? Yeah. We have to value God's presence. Because we make it cheap. If I have a bucket here that's full of sewage, you have a well on the inside of you with pure clean water that wants to spring up and flow. But if the only thing that's flowing into your life is dirty water, sewage water, this is what many people do. They have a bucket full of sewage water the whole week, then they throw it out on Sundays, and then they come and they say, Jesus, clean water, please. Even if you put the purest spring water into that bucket, it's still going to taste like sewage. And then we want to present that to God, a holy God. Holiness is not what you do on a Sunday, it's what you do Monday to Saturday. It's how you invite the presence of God into your life Mondays to Saturdays. Your devotional life, your devotional mood or atmosphere is not just that time that you spend with Jesus or when you're here at church. You have to be able to maintain that mood during the day. Through what you meditate upon, the Word of God, what you are saying, declaring the Word of God, praying without ceasing. That's only possible in the Spirit. Can you see the need to be born again? If it's not a natural thing for you to want to do, you have to ask yourself, how am I serving God? Am I convinced or am I converted? Because I grew up for a very long time serving God, convinced up here, but not converted. I've got news for you. The demons are also convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they're not going to heaven. You need to be converted. You need to be born again. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must be born again. You know, I said a few weeks ago, if God inhabits the praises of his people, who inhabits your complaints? Who inhabits your murmuring? Who inhabits your nastiness? Just smile at me once. You know, when you want to talk about the Holy Spirit and his holiness, you need God so much, because who is there that's truly holy but God? But as a Christian, we ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. We ought to walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, dance in the Spirit, do your work in the Spirit. Maybe I should ask this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit as a believer? You say, how can I ask that? I'm going to give you scripture now. I can see some of your faces. Show me. I'm going to show you. Are you ready for this? People that loved Jesus, that confessed Jesus, that was involved in Christian service, but not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think Jesus instructed his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power? We have too many churches, too many individuals confessing Christ Jesus, but not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, buckle up, buddy. Go with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. Verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. Disciples. In other words, they're living a disciplined life in Christian service, advancing the kingdom of God. And he said to them, he looked at them and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Half of the church will be offended today if we had to ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. He said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, sorry boys, you missed it. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ. He says, you believed right, but there's something more than that. Jesus died, Jesus was made alive, and there's now a new life in Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if I can just summarize that, when they heard that, they repented, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed him with their mouths, believed with their hearts, confessed with their mouths unto salvation, believed with their hearts unto righteousness, and then they got baptized with water. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So why did Paul ask this question? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Because he wanted to determine what kind of a conversion that they have. Were they born of the Spirit, serving God from here, or are they busy with discipleship from here? Can I ask the question, what kind of discipleship are you busy with? Are you serving God from here? Because if you're just convinced, then you make all the decisions. But when you are born again, then you're led by the Holy Spirit. Then the Spirit of God will tell you, go to church. The Spirit of God will say, go help that person. The Spirit of God will say, go pray. Am I talking to the right people? But when you're convinced, then you decide. Let me just think. Jesus, coming to church tomorrow morning, that's going to be a sacrifice of my time. I don't think I'm going to make it. But when you are born again, you know you're in the presence of His power, being changed from glory to glory. Eina or amen. Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Many only want to see His works, but they don't want to learn His ways, according to Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Paul came, and when he arrived, because he was an apostle, he could impart gifts that could bring change, because he knew if their Christian service was not in the power of the Holy Spirit, it would not have lasting results. Romans 1 verse 11 says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established." It's one of the things God had in my hand. After the service today, we're going to lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you need a new impartation so that you can run for God like never before. Amen. So you can be on fire. John said, "There's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Acts 2, at the day of Pentecost, what happened? They could see tongues of fire, divided tongues of fire on their heads. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of them started speaking in tongues. If you want a heavenly language today, we will pray for you and lay hands on you so that you can receive your heavenly language and start to pray in tongues. Can I have an amen? This is the power that God has given us. What good is power if you don't have access to it? Jude 1:20 says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are building yourself up in your most holy faith. So we need a church that's on fire, that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that can speak in tongues. That's not the tongues that I'm talking about. And people want to push back when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, because then you have to surrender. Because then the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all things. No fire, no light. No fire, no change. No fire, no empowerment. So if you truly want to live a life as a Christian, it's a life filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Judges, there's a Samson got upset the one day with the Philistines, and he grabbed some foxes, tied their tails together, then he put their tails on fire and put it in the fields. And the foxes were running, putting everything on fire. The Philistines got upset and said, "Who did this?" Because nobody could ignore the fire. If those foxes' tails were not on fire and they ran into the fields, would anybody be upset? No. This is the same that we have today. Many Christians go out two by two, tails tied together, talking and fellowshipping and having fun, but there's no fire to change anybody's lives. If there's fire, you'll see it and people's lives will change. Am I talking to the right people here? Are you ready for some fire? The thing is, with fire, it burns away some things in a person's life as well. The fire of God will start to burn away everything which is not of God. Let me warn you. The first time as a young Christian, in humility and sincerity, when I prayed, "Lord, let your fire fall on me and burn away everything which is not of you," by the Friday, I was rebuking the devil. I said, "Lord, help." And the Lord said, "Why are you rebuking the devil? You then asked me to burn away all this stuff that is not of me." Am I talking to the right people here? Oh, okay. The Holy Spirit is just there to bless you and to help you, and everything is going to be fine. He's going to just leave you the way that you are. Do you want me to say that? I'll be lying to you. I'll be lying to you. The Holy Spirit is working in you so that Christ can be formed on the inside of you. He's removing everything which is not of God so that you can look more like God. Can I have an amen? Family, if you're a Christian and you say, Holy Spirit, come, my prayers, fire of the living God, fall afresh upon us as a church and burn away everything which is not of you. Because nobody can ignore that fire. It's then when we will become a lighthouse to many people, hope to many people. Even in the book of Hebrews 1 verse 7, the Bible says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. If you're going to minister, it better be in the fire of the Holy Spirit, because then it will change people's lives. Are you ready for some fire? Are you ready for some fire? Are you ready for some fire? I mean, people say they want revival, but revival will change you. You don't change revival. The gospel will change you. You don't change the gospel. When you say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. So, let me close with this. The difference in the lives in the Old Testament of Israel, a type of the church, was the presence of God. Moses said, this is how they will know. This is how they will know your presence. Quickly go to Acts 4 verse 31. I'm just thinking about something. Just because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit once does not mean you don't need an infilling again. Amen. You need an infilling daily to pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Look at what Acts 4 verse 31 says. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. In Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the place is shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then spoke the word of God with boldness. Can I tell you something? When we read the book of Revelation 3 verse 20, where the Bible says the Lord stands at the door knocking, whoever opens it, he will come in and dine with us. It's not written to unbelievers. We always quote it to unbelievers with an altar call and say, open your heart's door and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But Revelation 3 verse 20 is written to Christians to open their hearts for the Holy Spirit to come and take the rightful place. Most of our challenges, our crises that we are facing today is because we've not given the Holy Spirit the rightful place in our hearts. When you are aware of the presence of God, you will not misbehave. When you're aware of the presence of God, you'll be careful what you say. Many people say Jesus is Lord. But when you say Jesus is Lord, how many people's lives are changed? Because the Holy Spirit should affect your words when you say Jesus Christ is Lord. When you pray for somebody in the power of the Holy Spirit and you say Jesus is Lord, it should affect people's lives. Just go to Acts 4 verse 31. Go to verse 29 quickly. Let me just show you there what the Bible says. They were praying and they said, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. When you give the Holy Spirit the rightful place, you'll see the hand of God will start to move. In any case, when God heals somebody, it's never you healing them or delivering them. It's Jesus healing and delivering them when he stretched forth his mighty right hand, so that God will always get all the glory. So, I think we've had enough foxes running into the field whose tails are not on fire. We need a few foxes whose tails are on fire so that we can go into the harvest field and let people experience the fire of God. Not to consume them, not to judge them, but to bring salvation to them and to burn away everything which is not of God in their lives. Amen? You know who God wants to use? He wants to use you and he wants to use me. The Holy Spirit only comes by invitation. By invitation. A heart that is open and say, Lord, come into my life. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. I welcome you into my life. Spirit of the living God, fill me with your love until it overflows to others. You know what's going to happen? That person that you're offended with, that you're angry with, that you don't want to forgive, now suddenly you want to forgive him. Can I have one amen? Are you so angry with some people out there? Yes, give the Lord a hand if you're going to give the Lord a hand. I think when you start to pray, Spirit of the living God, take more of me and give me more of you. Help me that everything about me will be everything about you. When you pray that, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is listening. And if you really open up your heart, He will come and work in your life and bring change. 2 Corinthians 3, from the 16 to 18, it says that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And as we look into this mirror, the Word of God, we are being changed from glory to glory. So if you want change in your life, the change does not come from the outside. The change comes from the inside. When you allow the Holy Spirit to enter into your life, when you say, fall afresh upon me. People need to see more of the Holy Spirit. People need to see more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, people should see Galatians 5 verse 22 to verse 23. Am I talking to the right people here? That's why I need God. I need God when I climb into my car and I drive from here home. I need God in my car. Because there's a lot of people around me that don't have God. Am I talking to the right people? Is it only pastors that write the road test? Am I the only one that write the road test? Well, I have to say, Lord, help me, Holy Spirit. Well, I have to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. When somebody pulls in front of me, not to say, you better come to prayer line, you need deliverance. But to say, surely my brother, go. Come and just be real. Amen. Am I helping some of you here? When you make a mistake, it's the Holy Spirit that will tell you, go to the cross. Jesus, I need you to forgive. As Christ has forgiven me, forgive. When you get to that cross, Jesus will say to you, you have a friend in the Holy Spirit that's going to walk with you, that's going to lead you, that's going to guide you. You're one of my sons. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and show you a more excellent way. And when we become aware of God's presence, even when we're under pressure and tension, He will be the one to lead and to guide us. Even when there's temptation and difficulties, the Bible says, He will make a way and show you what is the way out. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.